Praise the Lord. Well, it's just so good to see everyone tonight. Turn with me in your Bibles. I know you're hungry for the Word. Go over there to Hebrews chapter 6. And tonight, we're going to talk about the laying on of hands and impartation. Now, it's interesting because I ministered along these same lines last night in our Erie midweek service. We do a midweek out there, you know, once a quarter, roughly. And this message has just been on my heart, and more so than anything, to strengthen, you know, God's people. Folks, I'll tell you right now, there's just, you know, things going on. There's an assault against the body of Christ. These days that we walk in the earth, not in the church. In the earth, I'll tell you what, it's a very dark place out there. And we cannot afford to go without the Word of God, to go and just take the principles of God's Word lightly at all. Folks, when I say what I'm about to say, I do not want it to be misunderstood. You know, when I say this, first of all, I am not trying to present Family Church as, you know, some, you know, church that's better than anything else, or, you know, some elite church. But folks, and it's been this way not just this year, but it's been this way for several years. You know, just, you know, I've been pastoring, I guess, coming up on 14 years here at the end of the year. And, you know, just long enough to see some of these cycles come, you know, through a couple of times. But I cannot tell you, you know, every year several stories come back to me, you know, of people who were once, you know, attached, you know, to the church and had their lives changed by the Word of God, who started to walk in the fruit of the Lord and the fruits of righteousness and started to flourish in the house of God, that at some point they got offended because of the Word, you know, and left. And I don't mean, folks, I'm not talking about people that visited the church a couple of times and decided that Family Church wasn't for them. I'm not talking about that. And this principle that I'm referring to is not something that is exclusive to Family Church. Wherever the light of the gospel is preached, wherever the light of the gospel is preached, and wherever somebody is called to sit under the Word in that ministry, and that is their local church body, and they receive that light for years, and then they turn from it and walk away, I'll tell you, like I was saying, you know, over just, you know, the last several years, actually, you know, for many years, but especially recently, so many stories are coming back to me of people who were connected to the church and then got offended, and then they drifted away from God and everything, and then all of a sudden their lives are being destroyed. I mean, I'll tell you what, it need not be so. And I'll tell you what, it's dangerous to, you know, walk with Jesus, you know, turn to the light and then turn away from the light. Family Church is not the light. Do you understand? Jesus is the life of and the light of men, right? You understand? And this is just true wherever somebody is called to be, where the gospel is being preached. But I've seen it, you know, where people, they were connected and then they got offended and then, you know, they drift off into life and then give it 3, 4, 5 years later and all of a sudden their lives are being destroyed. Some are dying, literally. You know, this world is not going to take it easy on people that were walking with the Lord then all of a sudden drift away. And so the purpose of tonight's message is to strengthen you, which is the purpose of every message. But you understand, you know, we need to be strengthened in the things of God. We need to stay faithful, even when much of the body of Christ is turning to entertainment and turning to, you know, these things and, you know, all this is going on. We need to stay faithful to the Word of God. We need to be strengthened. We need to know where our local church family is. We need to be faithful there. We need to be connected there. We need to be loyal to one another, because what we're doing here, this is not a social outlet. This isn't just some gathering. We're not just, you know, trying to have our little institution here. You know, it is a purpose and plan of God for this earth. And of course, Family Church is just one small section of the body of Christ. God is doing the same thing in other good churches, word-teaching churches. Amen. But we need to be loyal to do our part. Amen. And we don't want to be destroyed with the world and so on. And so tonight, we're going to strengthen you. Glory to God. Strengthen on the word and also a reminder of who we are as the seed of Abraham. Amen. And so go with me over there to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. We're talking about the laying on of hands and impartation. And, you know, so often, you know, the body of Christ doesn't teach what the laying on of hands is for and what impartation is. Well, we're taught on it here. We believe in it here. We practice it here. We demonstrate it here. Amen? And I'm going to show you why we do so here in these two verses. Now, of course, I believe Paul the Apostle is the author of the book of Hebrews. He is writing to these Jewish believers who were faltering in their faith. All right, they were slipping back and they were, you know, being tempted to fall back into Judaism and to not follow Jesus. And, you know, and he starts to really boldly correct them. In the last few verses, you know, you could go up there to Hebrews 5:12, kind of the end of chapter 5. He tells them, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." See, he's criticizing them because for the time, they should be been able to be instructors of the word. They should have been strong. And yet here they were in need of the milk of the word when God wanted to feed them strong meat of the word. Okay? You know, how many of you know God expects us over a certain amount of time to grow up? Right? He expects us to know these things and to walk in these things. And so when we come down here to chapter 6 and verse 1, how many of you know that in the original manuscripts of the Bible, there was no chapter and verses? And so he's continuing with this same thought. And he says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ," all right, or what he said up there in chapter 5, verse 12, the principle, the first principles of the oracles of God. We're going to revisit the first principles of the oracles of God. And it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection," or the word perfection means maturity, all right? "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God," look at verse 2, "of the doctrine of baptisms," plural, because there's more than one, all right? There's actually three New Testament baptisms. There's the baptism of Christ, there's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then there's the baptism of water, all right? That's a different study for a different night, all right? Say, what? There's three baptisms? Absolutely, okay? Praise the Lord, but that's why it's plural, in case you were wondering. "Of the doctrines of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment." Now remember, back up there in verse 12 of chapter 5, he called these things the first principles of the oracles of God. And then in chapter 6 in verse 1, he again calls them the first foundational principles of Christ. All right? And so these are the kind of beginning doctrines in the Word of God. Now, in verse 1 where it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ," that doesn't mean we ditch them and don't use them. All right, it means let's grow beyond this. Let's grow up and make sure we have our foundation strong so we can receive all the other things that God has for us to do. All right? Until you know and understand these first principles of the oracles of God, God's not going to entrust to you, you know, greater things. How many of you know he's got other stuff for us? All right? But you have to understand these first principles. And now I tell you what, did you notice the doctrines that the laying on of hands was mentioned with? I mean, did you notice? In verse 1, it says, "Repentance from dead works." How many of you believe that repentance is vital in your relationship with God? Yeah. You can't know Christ apart from repentance. Oh, my goodness. I know the modern day church says, oh, you can have God. You don't need to repent anymore. You know, that's a bunch of garbage. It's called the first principles of the oracles of God. It is called the foundational doctrine of Christ. Yeah. Yeah, he says, let us, go on to perfection and maturity, not laying again the same need of repentance from dead works. How many of you know we should repent, get right with God, and grow from there? All right. So repentance is essential in our relationship with God. How about faith toward God? I mean, do you believe that's important? Can you scrub faith from the first principles of God? No, you can't. It's essential. Now look at verse 2. Look at the other principles or the doctrines of Christ. It says the doctrine of baptisms. How many of you know that's essential? And of the laying on of hands. And the resurrection of the dead. How many of you believe in the resurrection of the dead? You can't be saved apart from it, right? You cannot get rid of that principle, right? Okay. How about eternal judgment? See, it's called the first oracles of God. I know that the modern day church is trying to erase the idea of hell from the Bible, but you can't erase it. It's the first of the oracles of God, right? It's the first foundational principles of Christ, the doctrines of Christ, all right? So notice in the midst of faith, notice in the midst of repentance, notice in the midst of the resurrection, and also in the midst of eternal judgment, is a doctrine called the laying on of hands that is put co-equal with those other principles. It is called a foundational doctrine of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. But let's be honest. You know, in the denominations that we grew up in, how often were we ever taught about the laying on of hands? Now, maybe some of you grew up in, you know, different denominations and you were taught. I'll just tell you the denominations that I grew up in, I don't remember hearing one sermon on the laying on of hands. And yet, he says, when you should have been teachers, you should have been instructors. He said, you should have grown beyond the foundational doctrines of Christ and the first principles of God. And one of them is the laying on of hands, yet so few in the church are ever taught it. So few church leaders today. How many, these big mega church pastors that are on, Christian TV, how many times do you hear them ever teaching on the laying on of hands? You know, I mean, of course, I'm not on there very much, so maybe I missed something. But it's called foundational. It's called the first principles of the oracles of God. And so notice, it must be essential. All right? So tonight, we need to know what the laying on of hands is and what it does. All right? And I'm going to tell you, of course, you know that the laying on of hands can be used in terms of health and healing. All right? But it's more than that. It's far more than that. Glory to God. Okay? So let's start out here by talking about what the laying on of hands is for. Are you ready? It's basically this. It is for the transmission of God's blessing, his equipping, and his ability. All right? His blessing, his equipping, and his ability. It is for the transmission of those things through his chosen leadership to the people, all right? There are many things in the Word of God that are transmitted by the means of laying on of hands that is mentioned in the Word of God, all right? Tonight, we're going to look at several of them. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? Now, how many of you know there was the laying on of hands in the Old Testament, all right? How many of you know there was a laying on of hands in the New Testament? So clearly, it transferred over to the New Testament to the point where it's called a foundational doctrine of Christ. Let me show you where and how. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 48. Are you stirred up here tonight? Folks, don't let the work of the day, make you tired in the house of God. If you got to stir yourself, if you got to give yourself a pep talk on the inside right now, stir yourself up, because you cannot miss this. God's got something good for you here tonight. Don't miss it. Go over there to Genesis chapter 48. We're going to start in verse 14. Now, let me kind of catch you up where we are in this story. How many of you remember the name of a man named Israel. All right. You say, what, you mean the name of a nation, Israel? No, before Israel was a nation, Israel was a man, all right? And Israel was the name that was given to Jacob, because Jacob is going to be kind of the founding father of the 12 tribes of Israel, right? How many of you remember that? And so Jacob is given a new name. His name is changed to Israel. And by the time we pick it up here in Genesis 48, Jacob is literally just days away from passing from this earth, okay? And remember, Jacob had a beloved son, and he gave him a coat of many colors. His name was Joseph. And remember, Joseph was the second youngest of the 12, and remember, he just had favor in the sight of his dad, Jacob. But his brothers got jealous of him and threw him into the pit and then pulled him back out and then sold him to slavery into Egypt and then told Jacob that, you know, Joseph was dead, and they showed him the torn coat with animal blood on it and convinced him that Joseph was dead. But Joseph wasn't dead. Joseph went into Egypt, and long story short, he became the second highest ruler in that kingdom. And he was given control of all of Egypt. Remember this? And then the famine struck. And then Jacob and his other sons had to move into Egypt. Remember that? Where they discovered, and where Joseph discovered, you know, that he was going to be reunited with his dad and his brothers. And so now when we pick this up, Jacob, Israel, has just discovered that his son, Joseph, is alive. And not only that, but he has sons, all right? And, of course, Jacob is just amazed, and he's thrilled, all right? And he wants to give his blessing to Joseph and to Joseph's sons. Are you ready? So that's where we pick it up in verse 14. And it says, "And Israel stretched out his right hand." This is Jacob. Remember, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, this is Jacob here, who's now given the name Israel. "And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head." Ephraim was one of the twin sons of Joseph. So this is Jacob's grandson. And remember, Joseph had twins, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Manasseh was born first, and so he technically was the firstborn. Now, what do you know about the firstborn in the Jewish culture there? They had the birthright, right? They had the birthright. They had the blessing. They had the greatest approach to God. You wanted the birthright. Remember how Jacob himself, he got the birthright from his brother Esau, who was a hairy soup cooker. But he just didn't care about the birthright, so Jacob, in essence, stole it. All right, you say, well, how did God bless a thief? Well, see, well, it wasn't so much that, you know, he was a thief. It was that he wanted it. And God wanted the one that wanted it to have it. You understand that. All right, if you get hungry for the presence of God, God's going to make sure he's going to go around anybody he's got to go around if you're hungry for the presence of God. Jacob was just hungry for the presence of God. He wanted the birthright. He wanted to carry the blessing. He wanted to carry the influence and the name of his dad Isaac and his granddad Abraham. He wanted the covenant. See, when you love the covenant that much, God will make sure you get to it. Amen. And so now Israel, Jacob, stretches out his right hand and lays it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger. How many of you know the right hand represents in the scripture the authority and blessing of God? Remember that? Remember, in the right hand of Judah was the scepter of power and righteousness. Remember, Barnabas and Saul, you know, Paul the apostle, they received the right hand of fellowship. What does it say over there? What is that? Isaiah 41, verse 10 or 11. It says, "He will uphold you with the right hand of his righteousness." Okay? And so now Ephraim is the younger twin. Manasseh is the firstborn. The right hand is supposed to go on Manasseh's head. And so in this time, Jacob was starting to go blind. And Joseph brings his son up there, and he makes sure to position, you know, Manasseh right here for the right hand and Ephraim for the left hand. But then Israel steps up and he does one of these. He literally crosses his hands and lays the right hand on Ephraim and the left hand on Manasseh. Have I confused you yet here tonight? All right. And, of course, if you read down through the chapter, Joseph even says, Dad, the right hand is for Manasseh. He's the oldest. And Jacob corrects him and says, no, he is going to get the birthright. The older will serve the younger. Kind of a lot like in Jacob's life, right? Okay. And so this is what's going on. And Israel stretched out his right hand. He literally crosses his arms. He lays it upon Ephraim's head, who is the younger. The younger is not supposed to get the right hand, but he did, because that's God's plan. And his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly or knowingly, meaning Jacob knew exactly what he was doing, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Verse 15. All right. And it says, he blessed Joseph and said, oh, here we go. Folks, are you ready? I love this verse. He blessed Joseph and said, God, whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk. Everyone say, covenant. Amen. That is Jacob. He is repeating the vows of the covenant. All right. When you mention the names Abraham and Isaac before God, you are demonstrating that you understand that you are in the line or the family lineage of the blessing and the covenant. Oh, come on. He blessed Joseph. He said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Now, that meant something if you were Jacob, because he lived in some of the worst famines that this world had ever seen. He said, you know what? No matter how dry it got around me, no matter how the famine raged in my life, I was under the blessing of the covenant. I never went hungry because of the covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and it came to me. All right, glory to God. Now, you know where I'm going. You know I'm going to show you the verse that I show you all the time, and that's Galatians 3:29, if you could bring it up. Because you are in this verse. You are in this verse. And if you be Christ's, is there anyone here tonight that you're Christ's? Then you are Abraham's seed, just as much as Isaac was, just as much as Jacob was, just as much as Ephraim was, just as much as Manasseh was. All right, if you be Christ and you are Abraham's seed and you have inherited the same promise, the inheritance. All right, now you're back over here in Genesis 48:15. That is what's going on through the laying on of hands. The inheritance is being passed along. All right, go back over there to Genesis 48:15. He blessed Joseph. Okay, you have to understand, when it says he blessed Joseph, he wasn't just saying, I hope you have a nice life, son. He wasn't just saying, I hope you have nice things. Hope you have enough money. I hope you, you know, are happy all the days of your life. Woo, you know what I mean? Our idea of blessing is so shallow compared to the covenant blessing that belongs to us. Go back up to verse 14. We got to look at that again. Verse 15 was the one I was thinking of. He blessed Joseph, said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh, Justin, Pastor Brad, Reverend Randy, in all of your names, you are in that family tree as much as anyone that is named in this verse. And Jacob is saying, before the God of my fathers who fed me in the harshest famine, I never went without because I am walking in the blessing and the inheritance of the promise. That is who you are. You are the inheritor, right? You are the one who has inherited this promise that was given to Abraham. And now Jacob is saying, I understood that I am walking in this line of blessing. Now, Joseph, come on over here. It's your turn, Joseph. Oh, bring your sons over here. It's their turn. Glory to God. Look what he goes on to say. The God of Abraham and Isaac fed me all of the days of my life. Verse 16. And it says, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Notice there in verse 16, the word angel is capitalized. Why is it capitalized? It's just not talking about a random angel. This is actually a reference to Jesus Christ himself. The word in the original Hebrew is the Redeemer Angel. Actually, the Amplified actually even says that. Look at the Amplified of verse 16. The Redeeming Angel, that is the Angel, the Redeemer, not a created being, but the Lord himself. There's Jesus right in the book of Genesis. All right. Says, who has redeemed me continually from every evil. That word evil means trouble and destruction. I'm in the covenant of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. It has fed me in the harshest famine. It has delivered me from every evil, trouble, and destruction. Because I'm in the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of you fine folks. Praise the Lord. What the modern day church does not realize, they don't know why God even sent Jesus. You say, well, yes, we do, Pastor. We know he sent Jesus to save us from our sin. And that's a wonderful answer. And yes, it's true. But it isn't the end all be all. All right. The reason why Jesus came to this earth was to fulfill a promise that he made to Abraham. In Genesis 12, in verse 2 and 3, says, through you, Abram at the time, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Everyone say blessed. All the families of the earth shall just have a nice day because of you. Everyone, because you just will have some nice things and they'll be happy and, you know, and they'll get, you know, to go to their little church and, you know, hear their little sermon. No, that there's more to the blessing. He said, they will walk in the blessing of Abraham and your son and his son and his sons and his sons, all the way down to where God will bring Messiah into this earth and draw everyone in the world that wants to come into that family and that covenant where God will feed them all the days of their life. God will deliver them from every single evil. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But our idea of blessing, listen, all right? We understand that it is, you know, more than just, you know, having something in life that makes life easier. Oh, I got a blessing today. My life is going to be a little easier now because I got a brand new washing machine. And listen, that can be a real blessing. All right? Hey, nothing wrong. God can and does provide a new washing machine. But if you think that this is what we hang our definition of blessing on. Oh, I got a blessing today because I got the front parking spot. I got a blessing today because so-and-so bought me lunch. That can be a blessing. But do you understand? You are blessed and favored, whether someone bought you lunch today or not, because of the covenant family that God sees you in. He did not send Jesus just to say, well, I got to pay for their sins now. Time to pay the tab. That's not what Jesus came for. He came because God was being faithful to Abraham 2,500 years before Jesus ever walked this earth. We have to understand that there's a blessing and a covenant on that family line. And Jesus came because it was necessary to draw the world into that family line. Glory to God. He says, I got a way. Because the question was, how are the Gentiles? the non-Jews of the world going to be able to get into that family covenant? God said, I got an answer. I'm going to adopt them through the death, resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection of my son. Thank God for when money shows up. Thank God when the new car shows up. Thank God when the new job. Those are blessings, okay? But those are just byproducts. They're just crumbs that are falling off the blessing. Remember what he said over there in Genesis 12? Go back there real quickly. Hold your place there in chapter 48. Go to verse 12, or excuse me, chapter 12. I believe it's verse 3. And he's saying Abraham, verse 2 actually. He's talking to Abraham and he says, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, not just give you something in life to make things a little easier. He says, I'm going to put a covenant blessing on you and it will feed you every day. It will deliver you from all evil and destruction. Yes. He says, and I'll make your name great and you shall be a blessing. All right. And I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in you, Abraham, shall all families, me and you, of the earth be blessed. Everyone say blessed. That is, God sent Jesus to this earth to fulfill that promise. That's why it says all those times in Galatians chapter 3, you're blessed with faithful Abraham, right? You're blessed with faithful Abraham. You are the seed of Abraham if you are Christ. That's why Jesus came, because God was going to be faithful to that promise, and he's still being faithful to that promise. Remember what John the Baptist said and Jesus said? You know, remember when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem there on the what we call Palm Sunday? Remember, they said, you know, we have Abraham as our father. And he says, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. You know, God, what God was doing, they knew, you know, the whole premise of what God was doing on this earth was to raise up seed to Abraham. Do you understand this? You say, Pastor, why are you so passionate about this? Because this is what the modern church doesn't realize. They're standing around saying, why aren't we blessed? Because you don't know the covenant you're in. Praise the Lord. Do you understand? Okay. In Bible history, starting in Genesis chapter 12, you have the promise of Abraham. All right. And then there is a big time out. The big time out is the Mosaic law. The days of Moses and all of those thousands of years of Old Testament history leading up to the days of Jesus. Jesus comes to this earth. He dies and raises again, and it brings to life that promise of Abraham way back there, goes around the law, you understand, and brings that promise to everyone on this earth that'll receive it. And my job is to teach you about it, all right? You're back over here in Genesis 48. All right. Now, here's why we say this. He blessed Joseph. All right. He laid his hands on Joseph, and then he lays his hands on those lads. It says he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk. Covenant language. When you hear me in this church, when we're praying before a service, and you say, Father, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that is being spoken out of knowledge of the covenant. You know why you say that? Because God paves the way of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his seed. I'm not just talking just financially. Come on. It blesses the heart of God when a believer understands that they are the seed of Abraham. Because everyone who says, Father, I'm the seed of Abraham, I thank you. I understand the covenant, and it's a reflection of my knowledge that you're faithful. You're faithful. God loves when we understand that, all right? Verse 16 again. Love these verses. The redeeming angel, right? The redeemer, the angel, has redeemed me from all evil. Now he says, bless the lads. Now he's talking about those two boys. So he blesses Joseph. Joseph is now in the line of the covenant. Now Ephraim and Manasseh are now in the line of the covenant. Watch what he says. Let my name be named on them, the name of Jacob, the name of Israel, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. All right. And let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Do you realize that's why the Bible has now named us after Abraham? Glory to God. You have the name of Jesus, which is the greatest name of all. And now you have received the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. God is looking at you. He is seeing a promise that he made thousands of years ago. He's still raising up children of Abraham. He said, I got to raise up so many children of Abraham that it'll be more than the stars in the sky that you can count. That's all of us. We are the stars in the sky. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's talk about things that were transferred through the laying on of hands. All this talk of covenant, you thought that we weren't talking about the laying on of hands anymore. All right, but we're talking about the means by which it was transferred, okay? Number one thing that was transferred by the laying on of hands was the blessing. This was more than just good things and good feelings. It was a God-filled heritage and plan. Do you love your God-filled heritage? I love that we are fulfilling a plan that is now 4,500 years in running on this earth. Here we are. The blessing is on me. Is it on you? Yes, it is. Glory to God. This was more than just good things and good feelings. It's a God-filled heritage and plan. It was a direction. It was an impartation of loyalty to the things of God. Amen. It was a supply that was needed to fulfill that plan. The laying on of hands, that blessing was an anointing. It was the plan and the posterity of God to carry the plan. The world does not need any more Christians who are just hungry for stuff to make their life easier. We're living in the days on this earth where faith has been turned into a means of making life more convenient. Lord, I'm believing you for this. I'm believing you for that. I'm believing you for this. Lord, that would be a blessing. I want that blessing. I want that blessing. Now, like I said, God's not against stuff. But faith and blessing in this heritage, is those things are just byproducts. They're just crumbs falling off that blessing of that covenant. But we think, you know, that the blessing is that stuff. This world doesn't need any more Christians looking for blessings that just make their lives easier. It needs believers who know who they are, who desire to carry the torch, and to understand that they are working in a bigger picture of fulfilling God's plan on this earth. Amen. We are fulfilling what God started all those years ago in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right. Amen. The blessing is on us. That blessing will feed us. Listen, Jacob didn't need to believe. He didn't go around asking for corn. He knew he was in the covenant. The corn was going to show up. Do you understand that? So many Christians have put their faith on the byproduct of the blessing that's going to come anyway. God would rather have you say, Father, I want the plan. Father, I want to carry the torch. I want to carry the influence of the covenant, Father, that has been working for 4,500 years. I want to be known by the name of Jesus. I want to be known that I'm a fulfillment of that promise. And not just me, oh, Lord, I believe, I'm just releasing all my faith for a car. Is it wrong to believe God for a car? No. But do you understand what I'm saying? We've turned faith just into this means of getting the things. The things are already in the covenant. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first. Right? Seek ye first. Amen. You know, his righteousness, these things will be added unto you. Seek the plan, seek the heritage, seek the fulfillment. Be a torchbearer. Glory to God. That's why I'm in this church. I hope that's the reason why you're in this church. No, Lord, I just, you know, I just come to church hoping that I get a blessing and tomorrow I'll get a 50-cent raise. Praise God for a 50-cent raise. But I'm not believing for that. You know, that's going to come automatically. Those things will just happen when the when you understand the nature of what the true blessing is. The blessing is in the covenant. Praise the Lord. All right, let's talk about the second thing that was transferred by the laying on of hands. How about the protection of the Lord? Verse 16, the angel which redeemed me from all evil and destruction. All right, again, through the laying on of hands, that covenant was passed down to those generations. Amen. Aren't you glad that there's protection in this covenant? Praise the Lord. Drop down there to verse 20, and we'll take it a little further here. And it says, he blessed them that day, Jacob. See, isn't it neat about Jacob? He knew the blessing was on him to have, but the blessing was also on him to give. Aren't you glad he understood that? Oh, praise the Lord. I am so grateful that I sit under a pastor who knows the blessing is on him to have and the blessing is on him to give. Praise the Lord. I'm grateful for the other men and women of God that have laid their hands on me because they understood that it was a divine transfer. Glory to the Lord. Verse 20, he blessed them that day saying, in you shall Israel bless, saying, God, make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Now, go to the Amplified in verse 20. It should help, you know, kind of clean this up for us so you understand what it's saying. He blessed them that day, saying, by you shall Israel bless one another, saying, make God make you like Ephraim and like Manasseh. He's saying that the blessing will be so apparent on you that when people bless one another, they'll say, hey, you'll be blessed just like Ephraim and Manasseh. Imagine that. He's saying it will become a saying in Israel. Okay, when someone sneezes in our culture, we say, bless you. All right? It's kind of a platitude. It's kind of a courtesy or whatever, you know, it's manners or whatever you want to call it. But it's like a saying. He's saying it will become a figure of speech because the blessing will be so good on these lads because they're in the covenant family that people will say one another, bless you like Ephraim. Bless you like Manasseh. Hallelujah. Bless you like, put your name in there. Because you are just as much the seed of Abraham as Ephraim and Manasseh. Say, well, no, that was the great-great-grandchildren. Let's see, great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren of Abraham, the great-great-grandchildren of, Isaac, the great-grandchildren. You know, listen, you are just as much in that family. Just because all these generations, that does not matter. That's what God sent Jesus for. Jesus came and said, all them that believe, I'm going to move them into that family. Remember what Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 22? Wasn't planning on talking about this. Right around the 32nd verse-ish. Remember he said, many on that day will come and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of the Lord. Remember that? Who do you think all those many that are called to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Here we are. You know, what does this mean? There's no limit to this covenant. There's no limit to this blessing. Oh my goodness, Pastor, you just preached. And I read this verses, it just makes me think I don't have to worry anymore. That's exactly right. Jacob didn't say before the God of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, whom, you know, I sat there and I worried in front of him all day. He said, no, the God who fed me every day. Isn't it good to know right now, from this moment forward, regardless of what happens in the economy of the United States of America, regardless what happens in the political arena, what happens in the social arena, what happens in the banking arena, what happens in the stock market, no matter what happens, the economy could collapse. It's doing well right now, but the covenant can't collapse. Stock markets can crash, but this covenant cannot crash. Glory to God. Diseases can rage, but this covenant can protect you. It's so good to be in this covenant, all because Jacob understood, I'm going to lay hands. All right? And so here's the third thing that we saw in verse 20. Influence and authority. Manasseh and Ephraim were going to be so influential. They're going to grow, and they were going to become a great multitude. And so much to the point where people will envy the blessing on their life. Amen. Influence and authority. All right, you could say it this way. The laying on of hands is an impartation from the greater generations that know God to the younger generations. You see how God uses the older generations bestow the blessing. We live in the day and the time where the church of Jesus Christ on this earth has gotten it backwards, especially in America. We are designing our churches around youth. We think in our society now that youth is the greatest asset. Youth is how we should tailor our churches and make the church young, trendy, youthy, hip-hoppy, you know. I'll tell you what that is. That is backwards. That is out of order. We live in the day and the time where the older generations that are supposed to know God and know the blessing and bestow that upon the younger, those that are supposed to be in leadership and authority, and the younger generations that are supposed to be in submission and learning, are to receive that blessing and be called up higher. Instead, the older generations are going to the younger generation and say, hey, how do you make my church cooler? How do you make my church cooler? How do you make it trendier? How do you fill these seats and make it youthier? It's not how God works. It's not how he works. Do you understand that? And so it's an impartation, all right, from the greater generations to the younger generations. It's used for those in authority over us to download into our spirits that which God has given to them. Glory to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. You could say it this way. The laying on of hands is a means of inheriting that which cannot be gained through money or property. Aren't you glad? The laying on of hands is a means of inheritance that cannot be gained through money or property. Praise the Lord. It's used for those and by those in authority over us to download certain abilities and graces directly into our spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Folks, tonight we're going to have an opportunity to have hands laid upon us. But please know that when we do that, I am not comparing myself to, Jacob, you know. I'm not comparing myself to the Apostle Paul or even the men and women of God that have been over me in my life. But I will say this. You know, when your pastor lays hands on you, you're not just getting your pastor. You're getting a heritage. All right? All right? You get those great men and women of God that have laid hands upon them. All right? When I have an opportunity to lay hands on people, you're getting people like Pastor Michael. You're getting people like Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy Dufresne, who had the opportunity to have Brother Hagin lay hands on them, and Smith Wigglesworth, and Lester Summerall, and these wonderful men and women of God in this heritage. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. All right, go to Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. Are you getting something out of this here tonight? Praise God. See, this is digging into the Word, isn't it? Man, I'm so glad to be in the family of God. Right? Remember that song? Aren't you glad you're part of the family of God? Praise. I think something like that. Yes. Numbers 27. And go over there to verse 18. How many of you know there was a gentleman in the Old Testament by the name of Moses? Anyone ever heard of him before? All right. No doubt the greatest central figure you know, of the Old Testament, except the Lord himself. Like Paul is the central figure in the New Testament, except for the Lord himself. And of course, Moses led Israel out of Egypt, and he was going to take them into the promised land. But how many of you know the people rebelled? There's a lot of delays. And then, of course, Moses lost his temper, threw down the tablets of the covenant. Remember that? And man, that seemed to me like Moses had almost good reason to do that. You know, he goes up there, he's spending 40 days and 40 nights, you know, in the glory of the Lord. He comes back down off the mountain. He finds his own brother, who is the priest, who had given in to the people, melted all the gold and turned it into a calf, and they worshiped it. And they were having a drunken party around this idol. And Moses, you know, shows up at the party and is like, "What is this?" And he throws down the tablets of the covenant that God himself had written on. And so just remember this, temper will cost you. Lose your temper and watch it cost you something. Because Moses, from that moment on, even though that there had been no one on the earth that had done as much for God like he did, God said, because you lost your temper, you're going to just behold the promised land from a distance. You will not get to go in. So I'm going to raise up another in your place. And remember who the one that was going to take his place? Joshua, the son of a nun. All right? No, not of a nun, of nun. N-U-N. Praise the Lord. And so we pick it up here in chapter 27, verse 18, in the book of Numbers, where Joshua is going to start to have a place in the leadership amongst the people of Israel. And now look what the Lord said to him in verse 18. I think this is interesting. And the Lord said to Moses, "Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him." Now watch this. Verse 19. "And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation of the people, and give him a charge in their sight." Isn't this interesting? Joshua is going to be the one that takes over for Moses. And so God has this idea. He says, "Bring Joshua in front of everybody and lay your hands upon him in the sight of everybody." All right? Now, why was he doing that? Verse 20. "And you shall put some of your honor upon him." Wow. "That all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient," or that they will follow Joshua. Isn't that amazing? He says, "All right, Moses, you're not going to go much further. Joshua's going to take your place." Of course, Moses was getting well stricken in years. He was getting near the time where he was going to leave the earth. You remember that? And he says, "Now bring up Joshua. Now in the sight of everybody, and in the sight of the high priest, or in Eleazar the priest, put your hand upon him. Lay hands on him, that the honor of the people that is on Moses would show up on him." Wow. Absolutely, 100%. Every pastor, every minister of the gospel who has staff, who has department leaders, should lay their hands upon those that help and serve in the ministry, so that people will see that they represent the leadership, that they represent the pastor, that they represent, amen, the authority structure in the church. Amen. So that the people would learn to respect and reverence those that serve in the ministry of helps. Oh, glory to God. So here's another thing that is transferred by the laying on of hands. Honor, respect, and reverence. Praise the Lord. He says, "Put your hand on Joshua, that the honor would get upon him," so that people would reverence him. Doesn't mean we worship a person. But how many of you know we should be honorable people? Oh, boy. You know, there's been people, and of course we haven't had much of this trouble in this church recently at all. But, you know, in the past, sometimes these things would come up where people would be real sweet to me, and then they would talk real harshly to my wife. All right, you can't do that. The way you talk to my wife is the way you talk to me. All right. I remember, and this was many years ago, I had to address an individual that, I mean, they were just, you know, rotten and mean to my wife, and I approach them. And that's very rare, okay? But if someone's going to sow discord among the brethren in this place, I will approach you, all right? And I dealt with that. And also, how many of you know, the same goes for the department leaders in this church? You cannot speak, you know, you can't love me and then trash Pastor Brad. You can't love me or trash our children's, you know, leader, Danielle. You can't, you know, trash, you know, Reverend Tony. You can't trash Heather, our office manager. You can't trash the leaders and helpers in there. But then, oh, hi, Pastor. People say, you know, and believe me, when I say this, I'm saying this now about other churches. you know, I love the pastor there, but I just can't stand that children, or I can't stand that, you know, music leader. I don't like this or I don't like that, but I like the pastor. No, it doesn't work that way. We should be one unit, right? Amen. You know, and of course, this would never happen in 1,000 years. Could you imagine anybody on this earth not loving and respecting Reverend Tony and Reverend Vanessa? That does not exist on this earth, okay? But in a hypothetical situation at another church with a different pastor and a different worship director, if they're working for that pastor, guess what? The way you talk to them is the way you talk to the pastor. Oh. There should be some honor and respect for those that lead in the house of God, not just for the one who's, you know, at the top of the leadership structure in that place. Yes, amen. Woo, praise the Lord. Notice here's another thing that was given by the laying out of hands. A charge was given to Joshua. A charge. It means literally an assignment. An assignment. Yes, Joshua was receiving. And when that assignment was coming on Joshua, do you know what else was coming on Joshua at that moment? The supply. The anointing. The supply to fulfill that new promotion that Joshua would soon be stepping into. There are people here tonight that are going to have hands laid upon them tonight that are going to receive a supply for certain things in your future that God will have you to do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. I tell you what, I can feel the hands warming up. Glory to God. All right. Here's another thing that was transferred. Leadership was being established and called up by those in authority. Leadership is given through the laying out of hands. An assignment with the supply comes through the laying out of hands. Honor and respect. So now you see laying out of hands is more than just laying hands on the sick. Though, how many of you know that's very important too? All right? And we're going to talk about that. Go to Deuteronomy 34. Yeah, we're only through the book of Deuteronomy. I have an example from every book of the Bible here tonight. Some of you are laughing. Praise the Lord. No, I really don't have one from every book of the Bible. Of course, my notes are always longer than the clock. And so I'm going to have to shorten this up somewhere. But go to Deuteronomy 34:9. And so now this is the end of Moses' life. Moses is not going to go any further. And now he's going to lay hands on Joshua again. Look at verse 9, Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9. It says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because," or "for." That word "for" is the word in the Hebrew "because." "Because Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses." So here's another thing transferred by the laying on of hands. Wisdom. Wisdom. Aren't you glad for people that God sets over us? You know, someone could be set over you that is younger than you. All right? Someone could be set, you know, over you, you know, that you might even have more knowledge than they do. Okay? But God will see that they have the wisdom that you need. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I'm not talking about myself, by the way. Amen. Wisdom. It matters who you are around and who you're raised up by spiritually. All right. And of course, here's another thing, and we've already pretty much said this. How about influence?
influence. Go to the New Testament now. We got to make this quick. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You getting something out of this here tonight? I love this message. I love teaching it. I love preaching about covenant. I like preaching about the laying on of hands. I didn't say I was good at it. I just said I'm enjoying it. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Look what Paul told Timothy. This is interesting. Neglect not the gift that is in you, Timothy, which was given you by prophecy. Isn't that interesting? We'll talk about that for a moment. With the laying on of hands of the presbytery or spiritual leadership. Okay, you could say it this way, the pastoral leadership. Neglect not the gift that is in you, Timothy, which was given you by prophecy. The word prophecy there does not mean necessarily future telling. You know, it's not talking about telling the future. A lot of times when people hear prophecy, they think of like the book of Revelation and future events. But that's not necessarily what he's talking about here. He's talking about inspired utterance. All right? Literally, he was getting a personal word. Do you see that? So obviously, personal prophecies are scriptural. All right? We see that. And he says, and with the laying on of hands of the church leadership. Glory to God. But what was given? A gift. A gift. A gift. Notice God will you. He says, the gift that is in you by the laying on of hands. He says, given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands. Wow. So now this sounds like a lot what Paul said to the Romans over there in Romans 1:11. He says, I desire to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Do you think that gift that was being put in Timothy's life would help establish him as that pastor? Amen. Absolutely. Go over to chapter 5 in verse 22. All right. In verse 22, it says, lay hands suddenly on no man. This is talking about ordination, by the way. It says, don't just, you know, take everybody and just ordain them as a minister. It says, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep yourself pure. Wow. And so I just bring up that verse to show you how sacred it is. Okay, you just don't ordain anybody for any reason. All right, they have to be proven. And notice he says, don't do so by the laying out of hands. You lay your hands on the wrong person for ordination and they go out and cause trouble, God will hold you responsible. Whew, praise the Lord. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Just another page away there for you. And we're fixing to close here. Oh, glory to God. Yes. 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul says, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. So that gift that was in Timothy through the laying on of hands was always there. He says, now you got to stir up the same thing that was put in you all that way a while back. Praise the Lord. So notice when the blessing of the laying on of hands is placed upon you, it doesn't wear out. It's just up to you to stir it up. Glory to God. All right, so now we're seeing all this through the laying on of hands. Let's talk about the most obvious, health and healing. All right, I'll quote it. This church, you know it. Mark 16, Jesus said, go out and preach the gospel to every living creature. Verse 15, he says in verse 16, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall speak with new tongues. This is verse 17, by the way. Verse 16 is where he says, those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Those that believe not shall be condemned. And these signs, everyone say signs, shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. In my name, they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Divine protection. Sounds like the blessing of Abraham, right? In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. Praise the Lord. Go to Luke 13 real quick. All this talk of Abraham. Go over there real fast. We got to leave some time tonight to lay hands on folks. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Go to Luke 13. Luke 13, verse 11. Remember this woman who had a demon of sickness for 18 years? It says this. It says, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity." Literally, in the Greek, demon of sickness. I think the Amplified even words it that way. 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Imagine what a sad sight that was. That lady, she literally, her back was parallel to the ground, and she had to walk all, you know, crippled and maimed like that. All right? And when Jesus, and it says, literally, now not every physical infirmity is the result of a demon, but some of them are. But whether directly or indirectly, sickness doesn't belong to us. Okay? And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And Jesus laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, that means extreme anger, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering?" You know, notice the minister of the synagogue says, "No, healing is only 6 days a week." Jesus said, "No, every day is a good day to get healed." Glory to God. Now look at this in verse 16. Here is our verse. Are you ready? Jesus speaking, "Ought not this woman," or "should not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham?" Hey, daughters of Abraham, do we got any in here? How about sons of Abraham? We got you in here too? All right. Notice Jesus quoting that covenant. "Ought not this woman, being in the blessing, who the walking before the God of her fathers, who will feed her every day and deliver her from every destruction, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Because she's in the family of Abraham." Glory to God. You know, and again, notice the laying on of hands, and here comes the covenant right behind it. Glory to God. And we could go on. We could go, here's another thing that's given by the laying on of hands. How about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? The baptism of the Holy Ghost, all right? You remember over there, Acts 9:17, you remember? Saul of Tarsus has been kicked on his rear. You know, Jesus has appeared to him. He hits the ground. He confesses Jesus as Lord. He is sent into Damascus, where the Lord speaks to Ananias, a common disciple, and sends him. And Ananias shows up, and in verse 17, he says, "Brother Saul, even Jesus, whom you saw on the way here, has sent me that I may lay my hands upon you, that you would receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Yes, praise the Lord. Remember over there, Acts 19:6, and when Paul prayed for them, he laid his hands upon them, and they all received the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues and prophesied. Amen. Healing, the Holy Ghost, blessing, honor, reverence, influence. My goodness, why wouldn't you want hands laid upon you? How about casting out demons? Yeah, you can look at many of the references in the Gospels of how demons were cast out and so on. Praise the Lord. All right, the laying on of hands. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, if we're not stirred now, if we're not, you know, excited to be in the Abrahamic covenant, you better check your pulse. Amen. Praise the Lord. But what we're going to do here is we're going to, in just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet. We're going to reverence the Lord for a few moments, and I'm going to be led by the Spirit. There's going to be a couple of different invitations. I'm not going to, you know, give away what they are, because I feel like this service is, of course, different than how the Lord led me in last night's service. All right, I'm not just following some template. There's some individuals already that the Lord has shown me that there was, you know, some things that were to be given and received by the laying on of hands here tonight. And much of that was shown to me as I was preaching here tonight, you know. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to walk those things out. So let's stand to our feet if we could. Let's just take a moment and let's just lift our hands to heaven and let's just worship Him. Father, we just praise You. Father, we glorify You. Yes. Father, we glorify You. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, we are Your sons and daughters. We are in this covenant. And Father, we know who we are. We know that You're faithful. Father, we know that You feed us every day of our lives. Father, we know that indeed You, Father God, You deliver us from every destruction. Father, we just praise You here tonight. We glorify You here tonight. Come on, everybody, just praise Him. Worship Him. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you can go ahead and play just something softly. We're going to begin right here. Tiffany and Savante, if you could come out, please. Praise the Lord. When I spoke the words just a few moments ago and said that there is a supply given for something that's, you know, we were talking about Joshua and the supply that would come through the laying on of hands for an assignment. All of a sudden, I mean, just something jumped into my hands for this couple right here. So let's just praise Him for a moment. And Father, we just worship You. Father, we just bless You. We glorify You. Father, You are so faithful, and Father, You are so good, and Father, I thank You that as I lay my hands on this couple, that Father, that they receive the gifts and the anointings that Father, that You have for them to receive tonight. Yes, praise You, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God, a feeder of God's people, a feeder and a leader. Glory to God. Yeah, and an anointing to speak words of stability in the lives of those who have none. Yeah, praise the Lord, 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 praise the Lord. And Father, I thank You for this precious young woman. And Father, that she will stand whole and complete in all the will of God. Praise You, Father. You are so good. Yes. Praise the Lord. A prayer support. A prayer support. And a lifeline for your husband. Praise God. Yeah. There's no man that has ever fully completed his course without a faithful wife. Glory to God. Praise You, Father. Thank You, Lord God. Blessed is Your name. Blessed is Your name. Praise You, Father. Glory to God. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. We just glorify You. We glorify You. Praise You, Lord God. Praise You, Father God. Praise You, Father God. Just bless You, Lord God. Bless You, Lord God. Praise You, Father. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Tim and Elise Hazelton, could you come out here? Praise the Lord. There's something, and I don't know all the specifics, but there's something to be ministered to you tonight in terms of business and work. In your job, and Tim specifically, I have this, and I'm going to be faithful to report it, that there's going to be honor laid upon you tonight, that those that work under you and serve within the company, they will see and notice, and there will be a greater level of honor and a greater level of integrity that will come up beside you, through other men and individuals that work under you and serve in that position. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father. We just praise you. So in Jesus' mighty name, Father, we just thank you. And Father, we just lay these hands upon you, upon this man tonight, that your honor would be bestowed upon him. That, Father God, that those that serve under him would see and notice. And they might not even know why. But, Father, they will know, Father, that he is a man to be followed. Glory to God. Elisa, give me your hands. And, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Father, yes, we thank you for this strong mother who raises children that serve the Lord with all of their heart. And Father, this couple and this woman will be known for their diligence as parents. And Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We glorify you, Father. You are so faithful. You are so good. Yeah. And there will be those in this community that will seek the two of you out. They'll see your stability. As time goes on and as you age and as you just grow in experience, there'll be those in the community that'll seek you out. Already they have. Already folks that are underneath you and around you will seek out your wisdom and your stability. Yeah. Glory to God. Father, we just praise you. Praise you. Let's just worship him. Just worship him. Father, you are so good. You are so good. Father, we praise you, Father God. We glorify you. We just magnify you, Father God. We glorify you. Blessed is your name. Matt and Sarah Wilkins, if you could come out here, please. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Father. Yeah. Yeah. Praise you, Father. Lord, we know that there is something fresh upon this couple. And Father, we just know that there's a fresh anointing. And Father, we see a couple here that is tailored for leadership. Father, we thank you that there are gifts and anointings for them to receive tonight for things pertaining to their future. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you they receive it. Father, in Jesus' name, they receive it. We just glorify you, Father. You are so faithful and good. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, if you're here tonight and you serve in department leadership of this church, and what I mean by that, I'm not talking about all the ministry of helps. I'm talking about if you lead a specific department in the church. Of course, what I'm referring to would be our praise and worship, our audio video, even the children's ministries, the nursery ministries, youth group, our parking lot, and the cleaning ministry. I mean, if there is a department in this church and you lead that department, please come down front. I want to lay hands on you as leadership in this church. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that as hands are laid upon these individuals, Father, let it be known that these are the ones that are leading the departments in the church, and they are worthy to be honored and respected. Father, we just thank you. And Father, we thank you that also as hands are laid upon them, that they receive the supply that they need to carry out the functions of the house of the Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Heather, stretch your hands just straight out in front of me. And here's a faithful one. And so the desires of your heart will be given. Glory to God. Praise the Lord and receive that here tonight for your faithfulness. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Pastor Brad, put your hands just right out in front of you. And here's a faithful one. Yeah. Here's a faithful one. Whew. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, this is going to be something that's just received by the laying on of hands and not spoken. Glory to God. 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 Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Joe, go ahead and put your hands out in front of you for your consistency. Yeah. And how you've led in the church, both you and your wife, and your consistency, your faithfulness. A dependable man will abound in blessings. So receive that blessing of your dependability. You've been stable and so helpful. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. A mother to the people of the Lord. A bright, shining example. Yeah. There's things that you've desired in your heart that you've told nobody. But it'll come to pass, and it will manifest and be seen by all. Now place your hands out in front of you. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you as hands are laid upon this faithful couple. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I just see the two of you growing into patriarch and matriarch status. Just flourishing in your elder years. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Father, we praise you. We worship you. Thank you. So both of you, go ahead. Join your hands together right there and then put your other hand out in front of you. And I'm going to just thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Yeah. He said that if you'd pray in private, you'd be rewarded openly. So get ready for the rewards. Go ahead and put your hands out. Father, she receives them now in Jesus' name. Yeah. Just worship him. Just glorify him. It's a holy thing. Say, well, Pastor, I just don't understand. Well, this is what the Bible calls the first principles of the oracles of God. We have to at least understand the laying on of hands. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We praise you. We glorify you. Now, this is a very general invitation, and you wouldn't think that it would be something that would be necessary to give in a church like this, in a group like this, because I know that this room is filled with dedicated people. But if you are called to this church, and you know that this is your church family, and you are called to serve, help, or lead in some capacity in this place, and you have not yet had hands laid upon you, and you'd like to have hands laid upon you, what I'm, you know, giving the invitation for is if you want to be a torchbearer. And I'm not talking, you know, listen, this is not just like, well, okay, I want to go up and I want Pastor to lay my hand, you know, his hands upon me, and I want to get blessed and so on. I'm talking about you want to rise to a new level. I'm talking you want to rise to, you know, being somebody that can be called upon. You are somebody that wants to carry the torch and the influence at this church. You know what I'm saying? It's basically like a very solid and solemn commitment, you know, to fulfill the plan that God has for this church family. I'm not talking that you just want to come up and, you know, and honestly, I'm just going to be real honest. If you've been shaky in your walk with the Lord, this invitation's not for you. No, I'm talking about if you, or if maybe things have been shaky, but tonight's the night you're going to get on stable ground, and you will look back at this night as a night where you started bearing that torch and bearing that, you know, loyalty and that strength, then fine. Then you're, of course, invited to come up here. But I'm just trying to stress the importance in how sacred it is, you know, what we're doing here tonight. So again, I'm going to start with this section. If you have not had hands laid upon you, and you just know that this is your church family, and you want to be a torch bearer, what I mean by that is that you want to carry the plan of God, that you're called to this leadership, you're called to this house, and it's not just, you know, a matter of attending church, but it's a matter of carrying the influence and the help. And what we do here is not the actions of, you know, one man, but it's as a church family. So if that pertains to anybody in this section, you can come on down front now. And also we'll call out this section right here behind Pastor Brad. If there's anybody that would pertain to you and you just know in your heart. See, if you're sitting here and you're wondering, is that me or not? You know, it's real simple. Your heart is here and you want to carry the vision that God has here. You want to be a torchbearer. You know what I mean by that? You'll just know it in your heart. Praise the Lord. All right, so we'll start with these folks. I'm going to start down here at this end. Praise God. And so, Father God, as I lay hands on these individuals tonight, Father, I thank you that the supply of God is upon them. Father, I thank you that the wisdom of God is upon them. Father, to carry the plan, the heritage. Father, the plan, the vision for this church and its future, Father, is upon these individuals to be faithful, to be dependable. Father, to be sold out to you. Lord, we're not here making subjects of this church or subjects to a pastor. But Father, we're just stirring our commitment to the house of God. That we don't just attend a church casually. That we're part of it and we're carrying the plan. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, praise God. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, glory to God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, glory to God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, glory to God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just praise Him. Worship Him. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the plans and purposes that you have for this church. Glory to God. We have not even scratched the surface together. It's been great. You know, this church, you know, came into existence in 2003. It's been a great 16 years, of course, Pastor Michael, and then, you know, what's happened since then. And I'll tell you what, but we haven't seen anything yet. There are breakthroughs coming. I'm telling you, breakthroughs. Yeah, praise the Lord. All right, now we'll go with this section. If that pertains to you in this section, we can go ahead and start by bringing the folks down that way. If hands have not been laid upon you yet. Now for this section over here. God is good. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father God, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you. And Father, as I lay hands upon these individuals, Father, I thank you the wisdom they need, the supply they need. Father, faithfulness, strength, stability, longevity, Father, is bestowed upon them. Father, as they walk in the blessing of the covenant, and Father, we just give you the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. In Jesus' name.
Glory to God. In Jesus' name. 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 Hear those hands. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In 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 Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory, just praise Him. Worship Him. Father, You are so good. You are so good, Father. You are so faithful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Reverend Tony, we have not had a chance to lay hands on you tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So, Reverend Tony, if you'd come down. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Reverend Tony, just set your hands out in front of you. Praise You, Father. Yes, here's a patriarch in the faith. Praise the Lord. Yeah, one whose example is to be followed in ministry, home, and family. Father, we just thank You for the anointing. Father, we thank You for the supply. And Father, we thank You that You would put a family of this caliber in our midst. We just thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Glory to God. Bobby, put your hands right out in front of you. Thank You, Father. We just praise You. There's an ability upon your life. Yeah. There's an ability upon your life that will feed many. That will feed many. Will feed many. Feed many. Just praise Him. Worship You, Father. You are so good. You are so good. Praise You, Lord. Can we bring up on the screen just real quick, just a reminder. I believe it was 1 Timothy, was it 4:14? We looked at that verse here tonight. And, you know, if you're here and you're wondering to yourself, what is this? You know, when you see things like this take place in a church service, sometimes we have questions. And how many of you know questions aren't wrong? You know, that's the job of a pastor, to teach and to instruct. Yeah. Remember what Paul told Timothy? And believe me, I am not comparing myself to the Apostle Paul in that sense. I'm referring to church leadership and how God uses leadership to bestow these things. All right? Notice he said to Timothy, he said, neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given thee by prophecy, by inspired utterance. Have we seen inspired utterance? That may be for certain individuals, all right? Now, folks, if you're here and you're wondering, well, how come, you know, certain things are said to, you know, one person but not the next? You're just led by the Spirit. You can't, you know, and no minister better get into that thing where he feels like this demand, well, I better say something, I better say something. If the unction's not on it, then I'm telling you, you're performing in the flesh and you're going to get yourself in trouble in a hurry, all right? That's where a lot of bad doctrine and bad things in churches take place, is when the minister feels like, you know, they have to come out and they have to perform in that way. That is dangerous. You say, well, Pastor, you know, and we notice, you know, when we come to most services here, you know, you feed the word, you teach the word and things, and not every service is like this. Why not? Because my primary role is pastor. My primary role is pastor. All right, the feeding of the Word of God from the pastoral office is paramount. It is first and foremost. All right, thank God for, you know,
the other demonstrations and things like that. But don't ever get into a place where you think of yourself like, well, it wasn't a good service, or, you know, we didn't have the laying on of hands, so therefore. No, the feeding of the word, there's nothing that you can't receive through the feeding of the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I wanted to show you that. I actually was led to do the same thing last night, just to remind us of that verse, that there are gifts that are given by prophecy or spoken utterance. People see prophecy and they think, oh, it's telling the future always. Yeah, there could be a future, you know, element to it, but prophecy in and of itself does not have to tell the future. Okay? And it says, by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery or the pastoral leadership. Isn't that what we had here tonight? Amen. Can you also bring up 1 Corinthians 14:3? Again, just to show you what prophecy is, because growing up in my denominational church, you know, I was told that prophecy was only, you know, the scriptures out of prophetic books of the Bible, like Revelation and certain things like that. Well, the simple gift of prophecy in the scripture tells us that it doesn't necessarily have a future telling element to it. It says, but he that prophesies or speaks forth on behalf of God, you know, it's inspired utterance, speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Notice it didn't say anything there about telling the future. Okay. All right. Edification means to build up. Okay. Exhort means to exhort to faithfulness. Comfort, you know what that is. All right. Makes you feel better. All right. And so, you know, if you were raised like I was, you said, well, prophecy is this and prophecy is that. Well, there's the Bible, telling us exactly what the simple gift of prophecy will do. Not every utterance here tonight told the future. You know, not every utterance, you know, was, you know, telling some explicit future event, but it did edify. It did exhort to faithfulness, and it does comfort us to know. Amen. And so that's what it is. Let's just give the Lord some praise and glory here tonight. Father, we just thank you for all that was said and done. Father, we just give you the praise. Father, we understand that the laying on of hands and impartation, it is the first principles of the oracles of God. Father, it is a foundational principle of the doctrine of Christ. And so, Father, we should not neglect it. We do not neglect it. Father, we should not make it a shallow thing or just a one-dimensional thing. We see, Father, in the Word how you used it. Father, and we see it in connection with the covenant and the blessing. We are blessed with faithful Abraham. Father, we are in the blessing. Glory to God. We are in the family. We are in this heritage. Father, like Jacob said, the God of our fathers who fed us all the days of our lives, the redeeming angel who delivered us from all evil and destruction all the days of our life, we lack no good thing. And so, Father, we know who we are as your covenant children. Father, you are still raising up children to Abraham. You are still faithful to that promise. You are still blessing the families of this earth. Father, you have made us like the stars in the heavens. And Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. We just thank you, Lord, with all of our hearts. Father, we just thank you with all of our hearts. It's so good to be a Christian. So good to have a church family. Father, we're so grateful to have leadership. And I'm not saying it of myself. I'm grateful of my leadership. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, why don't we go ahead and get ready to receive tonight's offering? Let's just, you know, be good to the Lord and take care of the house of God. I don't want to leave this spirit of prayer, though. It's just too good. We'll just pray for the offering. Father, we just praise you. We just worship you. Father, we're just so glad to be here. Father, we just love your house. And Lord, by your house, we mean these people. Father, we love our church family. Father, we're not here for ourselves. We're here. And Lord, we thank you for the vision. We thank you for the plan that you have upon this church family. And Father, what we do together. And Lord, we just love you. We praise you. We thank you for answers for our lives tonight. Father, thank you for the strengthening and Father, for the gift that was placed within us, we just love you. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. And every time we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Well, we got our help tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what. This world is getting, you know, so dark. The world is getting dark. The church was never meant to be dark. All right? But I'll tell you what. If, you know, as this world gets darker, guess what? The Bible says that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter under the perfect day. All right? Doesn't have to get dark in here. It doesn't, you know, regardless of what goes on, you know, of course we're praying for the political arena, the financial arena. We're praying for the social arena. We're, you know, praying for the judicial arena, you know, all these things in our country. But regardless of what's going on out there, it cannot crash this covenant if we know who we are. Amen. So, Father, we just give you all the praise tonight. We command your blessing upon all of these people. Father, we just give you all the praise. Father, we give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.